Let's bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, it is our prayer this morning that as we open your word, that your Holy Spirit would teach us, guide us, move us toward and into all truth. Help us, Father, today to apply Scripture in our lives, to reap the benefits of blessing that you want us to have. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What comes to your mind when I mention the word health? Stop and think about that for just a moment. Health. What does that mean? What images does it bring to your mind? What's your first thought? Some of you have instantly gone to your refrigerator, and you have focused on what is there, or what you wish was there, or what you don't want there anymore. Some of you go to the refrigerator. Others of you have now gone in your mind to the gym, and you see sweat-soaked people pumping iron in sweatsuits and exercising until they're red in the face. Health. Others of you have gone to the hospital room and the emergency department, and doctors and nurses flash into mind. Health. For many people, the word health is a very positive thing. It brings up positive images, positive feelings, but that is not the case for everyone. The thoughts that come to mind are not always positive ones. At this point in time, some of you, perhaps, are already thinking of the excuses as to why you aren't healthy or don't do, perhaps, what you have heard is the right thing to do to get health. Humorously, someone once said, "Every time I think about exercise, I lie down until the thought goes away." Are you one of those? Or what about this one? "I'm not into working out. No pain, no pain." Puts a smile on our face sometimes, but the reality of the circumstance is that those are only a fraction of the kinds of excuses that people have for not making healthy lifestyle choices in the world around us. And even many Christians, who did I say? Even many Christians downplay the need for paying attention to their health. And yet the Bible has an awful lot to say about our health. There is one primary truth of the Bible regarding health that we can find illustrated and brought out for us in the book of Proverbs. I don't know how many sermons in your experience as a Christian you've heard almost entirely from the book of Proverbs, but today we'll add to that list. There will be some other passages we will see, but I want to ask you to take your Bible there to the book that we might consider one of the books of wisdom in the Bible, the book of Proverbs. Some interesting sayings, some parables, some allegories, proverbial thoughts that help to guide our lives, and true enough, many of us have made life decisions based upon the truths we find in these texts. And today we go to Proverbs, and we're going to keep our Bibles there as we look at several of the health smart Proverbs this morning. Our first consideration comes from Proverbs chapter 3. I hear your pages turning. I want to invite you to go there. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Notice God's word. This is the word of the Lord, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Everything we read today has come from heaven to us for our well-being. Do you believe that? God's word is for our well-being. Here's what it says. "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." What comes from this passage? As you consider it, what are the good results of the right choices that are mentioned here? And of course, the right choices here are remembering the law of God and following His commands. What are the positive things? It mentions length of what? Length of days. And then it mentions long life. These are very, obviously very, very similar. And then it mentions the blessing of peace. There's positive physical and mental results from heeding God's direction and living in harmony with Him. That's a fairly simple point to make. There are physical and mental results, positive benefits, when our lives are following the will of the Lord. Now, you're there in Proverbs 3. Just move your eyes down the page to Proverbs 3, verse 7 and 8. Notice this one. The passage says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from what?" All right, so there's the counsel. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. And it says, it will be health. It will be what? To what? Health to your flesh and strength to your... What are the good results? Health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You'll notice it was not a milk commercial. What did it say we are to do? What's the health to our bones and health to our flesh? Not being wise in our own eyes and departing from what? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. Are you there? Proverbs 4, it says, "My son," verse 20, "my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are," what's that next word? "Life unto those that find them," and what's that next word? "Health to all their" what? "Health to all their flesh." Good results? Indeed they are. Life and health to flesh. Life, I assume, must refer to a higher quality of life, not just the length of one's life. And then health to all their flesh means quality physical health, a healthy body. Now turn over to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, looking at verse 18. The Bible says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes" what? "Health." The tongue of the wise promotes health. Obviously, the result here is the promotion of good health, maybe not just your own, but maybe also those that live close by you. How? By careful, well-chosen, wholesome words, both in our personal self-talk. You ever heard about that? Self-talk. The things you tell yourself. The things that you can lift yourself up with or tear yourself down with. Your own personal self-talk could be that sword, like the piercing of a sword by words. But also those in those others around you, in your conversations with them, can be affected in health because of words. Proverbs 14, verse 30. "A sound heart is life to the body." Now, there's definitely a physical application to that, because if you don't have a sound heart, you don't have a living body. But there's a spiritual implication here. A sound heart is life to the body. But envy. You'll notice that envy is the opposite now of a sound heart, right? Envy, jealousy, covetousness. These concepts, this is the opposite of a sound heart. A sound heart is one that's not envious. A sound heart is one that is not jealous. A sound heart is one that's not coveting that which it doesn't have and has contentment. So a sound heart is life to the body, but envy, What is it? Rottenness to the bones. Sounds pretty physical in its impact. What are the good results here? Well, the first we hear, there are two. The first we have is life to the body. And the opposite of that is rottenness of the bones. Or the positive benefit would be that if we are not envious and we do have a sound heart, that there will be no rottenness where? In the bones. Now, if I was to ask you today, I'm pretty sure that most of you would answer the question to the affirmative that you do not want rotten bones. You know, there's a medical condition today that's deterioration of the bones, right? What's that called? Osteoporosis. You stay with me here now. Proverbs 15, verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones, what? Healthy. You believe the Word of God today? You believe the Word of God is practical? Believe the Word of God touches your physical life as well as your spiritual life? That's what it's talking about today. It's a good result. Healthy bones. This is coming up on a fairly regular basis as we work our way through Proverbs. Your physician probably didn't mention much to you about study of the book of Proverbs and applying it when you went with sore bones or osteoporosis issues. But notice what God's word says. Let's go to Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. Any of you like honey? Pleasant words. Pleasant words. What are words able to do? Scripture tells us words are able to kill or give life. Piercings of a sword, the previous text said, and of course others, it could be pleasant words, sweet like honey. You see, it has positive or negative impact. Sweet to the soul, it says, and pleasant words are also, according to Proverbs 16:24, health to the what? Health to the bones. Here again is a healthy bones result. It seems to be a major concern of Solomon as we've come through only a sampling of his health smart Proverbs. Let's look at one more. And you are likely familiar with this one probably better than any of the rest. It's Proverbs 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like a? A little louder. Does good like a what? What is good like a medicine? A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, what does it do to you? Dries up the bones. If we were to go to Dr. Solomon and ask him how to avoid osteoporosis, deterioration of bone density, and all of these other associated ills of our modern age, he recommends something different than modern medicine recommends. Or does he? The good result that Proverbs talks about is not having dry bones, rotten bones, weak bones, broken bones, etc. Solomon is concerned with our health, and when you look at your physical body, what is the frame that holds you up? It's your skeleton, right? There's a practical side to what God's word says. You've got a skeleton. Without the skeleton being strong, you fall apart. You can't stand up, sit down, you can't lift, you can't carry, you can't walk without your bones being strong. Now, I really don't know, because I'm not a doctor and I've never studied medicine, what dry bones or rotten bones look like. Maybe some of you have seen pictures from a medical journal or of some sort. But the message is clear, that is, we want strong, healthy well-being in our lives, especially that of our physical life. We know God is interested in our spiritual life, but is he interested in our physical life, and is there a connection between the two? Because God is interested in us, we go to his word. Proverbs 17:22, we just read it. I read it to you from the New King James or the King James Version. Now here it is from the New Living Translation. The Bible says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." And really, strength in many ways is in the bones. I think it's obvious now that we've gone through the number of texts that we have, there's a clear pattern in Solomon's message. I'm hoping you've picked up some level of a similar theme carrying through these. There's a number of things in this series of texts that we want to take notice of. Number one, God's wisdom is good for us. That's a pretty basic thing we can take away today. God's wisdom, which is found not only in Proverbs, but the whole way through his word, his wisdom is good for us if we follow it. Right? It's good for us regardless, but it's only good for us if we actually follow it. Many folks have their Bible sitting on the shelf in their room, and it's got beautiful golden colored edges, and the bookmark is nice and crisp, and it's there, and there's all the pages are just like it had come out of the box. And you know why that is? Because that's how it is. It's just come out of the box, and it was laid on the shelf, and it might be there for years collecting dust. Is it any good to the person when it's sitting on the shelf? You see, the wisdom of God is only good for us if we seek to have it, apply it, learn it, put it into practice in our lives. And this means trusting in God is good for us. From a physical health perspective, trusting in God is good for us. Making sound, moral, and ethical decisions is good for us. God is a God whose commands make sense. God never tells us to do anything in the Bible, counsels us one way or another, if it doesn't make sense. Now, it may not make worldly sense, but it certainly makes eternal sense. God's word is good for us. Since we live in a real world created by a real God, there are very real positive effects and results that come from following the wisdom of our Creator God. That's point number one. God's wisdom is good for us. Number two, throughout the book of Proverbs, as we have seen, Solomon is quite liberally hinting at an amazing truth that we don't want to lose. That truth is that there is, are you listening? That truth is that there is a serious connection between the mind and the body. This is a revelation to some people. It may not be for you because you're good Bible students, but it is a revelation to some people to believe that what happens in their head has any connection with the health of their physical body. Many people have gotten caught up in this concept that has come out of ancient Greece and the mythological standpoints and viewpoints of the ancient Grecians and the Romans who followed thereafter, and certainly other people groups, that there is a dualism in humanity, that we've got a spirit and an emotional, mental, spiritual side of us that is able to exist independently from the rest of our physical bodies. But God's word doesn't support that. God's word speaks to us as whole people. Whole people. How often in Scripture do you come to the passages that say mind and body and soul, or mind and spirit and body, and you see these connections of various terminologies all together in one place? Solomon wants us to understand that there is a connection between mind and body. Mental and physical health are connected to each other. You know, we are catching up in our modern world. Modern medicine is catching up. See, God's word had this 1,000 years before Jesus came. We're finally getting somewhere in our modern understanding of things. I want to share a couple of thoughts with you on that in just a moment. But mental and physical health are connected with each other, and that's not something that I made up. It's right here. You've read it. You've seen it. And you know what's beautiful about it? God knew all about it when he made you. And when he started this whole thing called Planet Earth, he knew about it. He published it in his medical journal called The Bible, which modern science, as I've said, is just catching up with. Our physical well-being is greatly influenced by the choices we make up here in our minds. Spiritual choices, moral choices, ethical choices, up here in our mind. Now, I've read that in his book, 10 Essentials of Happy, Healthy People, that Christian doctor Walter Larimore tells about a patient of his. And here's the little story. A young woman had been a patient of his medical practice for multiple years. She had emotional and relational problems in her life, and that spilled over to physical distress in her body. And the doctor was attempting to treat her. And Dr. Larimore wrote about this lady, and she says she was a classic neurotic at the age of 15. And over the years that he had been her doctor, he tried to encourage her to develop, remember, he was a Christian, he understood some of God's health smart proverbs, he tried to encourage her to develop some type of spirituality, spiritual life, even though at the time when he was treating her, she was not open to that at all. And so she finally left home, went off to college. He didn't hear from her or see her until one particular day he got an email from her. And in that message, she told him that she had been following his advice, which was a full package deal that he had given her. And it was relating to her nutrition, related to her exercise, related to her sleep patterns, etc. And just as importantly, she noted in her email that she had begun to seek the Lord. She'd begun an experience, a relationship with God. She reported that after putting God at the center of her life, she found everything else to fall into balance. She said in her email, quote, "I feel like a new me. Her life and her physical health were no longer in distress." You may have heard of a man by the name of Norman Cousins. He wrote a book called The Anatomy of an Illness, and Mr. Cousins himself was suffering from a painful condition that was regarded by doctors at his time and who were attempting to help him as incurable altogether. Now, he discovered, though, as he was trying to research and trying to help himself, he discovered that after just 10 minutes of hearty laughter, which he would induce by watching humorous movies, those types of things, he would have 2 hours of pain-free sleep. And so that became a part of what he implemented as his therapy program. 10 minutes of prescribed laughter for himself to get 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Now, it's been commonly known for quite some time that humor and laughter have been known to alleviate certain natural pain control pain issues in the body, to release control mechanisms in our body, and that releases powerful hormone chemicals by the brain. Laughter is a positive thing for the human body. And when we think about it, we can recognize that certain things that we receive mentally or consider mentally can work their way out to influence physical health. Now, come back with me for a moment to Proverbs 17:22. What did we read? A merry heart. What's the opposite of a merry heart? A broken spirit. Okay? Give it to me in modern vernacular. What is it? It's depression. It's depression. In June 2000, well, let's go back and make sure we get the point from the Proverbs. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, or modernly depression, does what? Dries the bones. June 2007, how long ago was that? Almost 10 years. How long ago was Proverbs written? About 3,000 years ago. June 2007, Harvard Medical School published a statement that showed the accumulating evidence pointed toward the connection between, here they are, depression and osteoporosis. They determined that depression, a condition of what type of health? Mental health, was cause for an endocrine change in the body that damages bones. And their studies have found that lower bone density occurs in people with depression. Another study done by the University of Eastern Finland not that long ago also concluded that mental health was linked to osteoporosis, specifically the aspects of mental health that relate to life satisfaction, levels of happiness, and how lonely somebody feels. In the last 10 years, we are finally understanding, from a medical perspective in the world, what God tried to tell us 3,000 years ago when he gave Proverbs to Solomon. These are just a couple of examples, but Solomon wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And when he said that the fear of the Lord, positive news, lack of envy, pleasant words, and a merry heart were all strength to the body and the bones, it was true. And these examples in a couple people's lives in scientific study today help us to reinforce the concept, the understanding, the truth, the hard medical fact today that the mind is connected with the body. It's a truth that we can no longer turn away from, that we can no longer try to excuse away. What happens in our minds affects what happens and goes on in our body. The mind affects the body. But I want you to stay with me for the next step of this journey. Not only does the mind affect the body, but it leads us to another amazing truth, which is the reversal of that principle. And the reversal of mind affecting body. And we recognize that there is a mind-body connection and the mind influences the body. We also have to accept and recognize that there is a body-mind connection, and what goes on in the body in turn affects the mind. Did we follow that? If what happens in your head can affect your physical body, God's Word tells us as well that what goes on in the physical body can affect what goes on in our minds. The quality of our thoughts. Good physical health can impact how we think and make us better able to understand God's Word. So there's your spiritual connection. We use our minds to understand God's Word. We use our minds to pray. We use our minds to understand God's communications to us. And so therefore, what happens in our body, if it affects our mind, therefore affects our spirituality. How interesting it is to recognize that that little dumbbell, that skipping rope, that fork or spoon can impact how close I am to Jesus. Wouldn't we want to practice a lifestyle that makes our bodies healthy so that correspondingly our minds are in the best shape to relate to God? The classic Bible example of this consideration is found in the book of Daniel. Read Daniel chapter 1, the story of Daniel and his three friends. They determined that they were not going to do anything to defile themselves with the rich and unclean foods and wine of Babylon that they were given off the king's table. And so Daniel talked with the officer in charge, who was very worried that their variation or their request for a variation of the king's orders would get him personally into trouble. And so Daniel makes a proposal. He makes a proposal to the man in charge of them, which was a proposal that put God to the test. Daniel said, and I quote from Daniel 1, 12 and 13, "Please test your servants for just 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then let our appearance be examined before you." And so it seemed like a fair idea, and that's exactly what happened. At the end of 10 days, Daniel and his friends were examined. And what was the result? According to verse 15 and 20, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the other young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Verse 20 says of Daniel 1, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found that they were 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers in all of his realm." That was after several years, 3 years in fact, of now being allowed to practice healthy lifestyle the way they believed God was asking. Because of their trust in God. Notice I put that first. Because of their trust in God and because of their faithfulness to make healthy choices, they were clearer in mind, better in body, and 10 times wiser when the king examined them. So let me ask you, did their trust in God have a part in that? Absolutely it did. God blesses those who trust in him. But also we have to equally ask the question, did the choices they made have any impact or part in the result? Of course they did. Of course they did. Their trust in God led them to make healthful choices in their lives. And because of both of those things working together, we find that they experienced the blessing. The story here in Daniel chapter 1 tells us that we can live our lives to the fullest, up to the best of our capabilities, by paying attention to, by practicing the most healthful lifestyle practices we can in connection, in context of our faith. Modern medicine, the studies that are happening today show us the benefit of having faith on healing, having faith on health and well-being. And when we then go and step beyond just the realm of faith to practice what the God of our faith encourages us to do, we become stronger, we become healthier, we become blessed. It's a wonderful and right thing to pray for good health. You ever prayed for good health? I'll tell you, when you're down with the flu, you should be praying, right? Asking God to help the body pick up what needs to be picked up and push out what needs to be pushed out so we can regain health. 3 John chapter 1, there's only one chapter in 3 John, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray." What did John do? You see, John was praying. This was a concept of John's mind and philosophy on the health of the people of God. He says, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in," what? "Health, just as your soul prospers." But what about this? Doesn't God want us to do something about that? You see, if he's praying that we would prosper and be in health, does God want us to respond in any way? Shouldn't we have a part in some way in prospering and being in health? It's all under the blessing of God, but don't God's people have to cooperate with him in some way? Of course we do. Just because you figure that you may have everything together in the spiritual realm of your life, doesn't it make sense to automatically expect that physical health will automatically come if we are practicing poor lifestyle? Because my spiritual life may be in order, or so I believe it to be, does that automatically mean that I am safe and protected from physical ailments? And the answer is no. Could you pray at mealtimes for God to bless something sitting on your plate that he has cursed? That's a pretty good question. Can we pray for God's blessing upon what God has cursed? We cannot. He will not change, will he? What he has cursed is what he has cursed. What he has blessed is what he has blessed. We cannot expect God to bless what he has cursed and give us good health. That'd be like kneeling down in the middle of the road or the highway at rush hour and asking God to help us from getting run over. We don't do things we know are dangerous, do we? At least we shouldn't. You see, it relates to more than the highway, doesn't it? It comes down to the actions and decisions of our individual lives every day. We need to recognize we live in a real world with real consequences for our real actions. We have a real God who is not arbitrary, and our God says to us, "I will answer your prayers by giving you wisdom to change your choices, to change your practices, to change your habits where necessary, and that's how I can give you safety and health, because when you follow my instruction, I will reinforce it with my power." One important implication of the Bible that is being that being healthy has for our lives, living a life in cooperation with God in all areas of our life is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, and lest you and I get caught up in thinking that that's what health is all about, what goes into our mouth alone, we are mistaken." But Paul says, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why would we need to do that? Paul's counsel a couple chapters earlier in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians 19 and 20 speaks to us about the importance of the reason why we would treat our bodies with respect, why we would treat our bodies the way that he asks us to. He says in verse 19 of chapter 6, "Do you not know?" He asks it as if he's surprised, as if we should know, that we shouldn't be doubtful about the issue, that we shouldn't have a question about it. He says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We are called to glorify God with our bodies. We're counseled to be careful about what we do with these bodies because they are the temple of the living Holy Spirit of God. And so the question is relevant. A question for each of us individually. Are we taking care of God's temple? An elderly carpenter was getting ready to retire. And he told his employer that, you know, he was ready to move on. He told his contractor that he had plans of retirement and he wanted to leave the house building business to live a more leisurely life with his wife and to travel a little bit, visit some extended family and so forth. And the contractor was really sorry to see his worker go. And he was actually a master carpenter, this man that was wanting to retire. And he asked if he would stay on to do one more project. And the man agreed, the carpenter agreed. And in time, though during that project, it was evident that he had already made up his mind that he was giving this up. It was already evident in his work that his heart was no longer in this. He resorted to shoddy workmanship and he used inferior materials just to get the job done. And so when the carpenter finished building the house, the contractor, owner of the company, came to inspect the final work. And upon the inspection, he came there to the main porch where the carpenter who had built a house for him was standing, and the employer handed the front door key to his master carpenter with these words, "This is your house. I'm giving it to you as your retirement gift." If he had only known that he was building his own house, how would he have done things differently? Now, I recognize that because we live in a sinful world, we don't have control over everything. I know there's things that affect us that we cannot stop or we cannot avoid. But with that understanding, we certainly do acknowledge that we have control over an awful lot of things that affect this house. Our lifestyle is one of those things. By making good and healthy lifestyle choices, we can ensure that we are maintaining a healthier and stronger temple so that this house is his house. Solomon in the book of Proverbs has given us an important lesson. We can build better lives by following God's wisdom in all areas with his help. And so let's build better health. Let's learn the wisdom of God. Let's put it into practice in the context of our lives today. Put his wisdom to practice. What should we be doing? Four simple statements about how we summarize and conclude. Number one, first step for us, study God's word. Learn that wisdom. And in the context of your life today, practice that wisdom. It's his wisdom about health. Number one, study to learn his wisdom. Number two, practice what you know to be right. And that involves, for all of us, making a plan, changing, adjusting habits, changing the environment sometimes, doing whatever is necessary, but practice what we know to be right. You remember Solomon didn't start his Proverbs of Health Smart Proverbs with us today by telling us what to eat or drink or how to exercise. He started by saying, fear the Lord and do his commands. Start by practicing what you know to be right. Number three, learn from your mistakes. All of us slip and stumble on the journey to good health and good lifestyle. And so this is what separates the wise from the unwise, is learning where we slip up and moving on from there. Take that shortcoming, take that mistake, use it as a stepping stone to the next victory. And number four, guard your spiritual and physical health. Those are the real treasures we have in this world. If we lose them, all the money in the world cannot return them to us. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God's word encourages us today, and I encourage us today as well. Choose to be healthy. Choose to be wise as God's people. Go all the way with God. Don't hold anything back. Don't resist his leading. Follow his leading, because that is where the greatest blessing is. God is the God of whole person health, health of spirit, health of mind, health of body as well. God, when you seek to follow him, putting faith in him, following his commands, stepping out, believing and trusting that he will do what he said he will do, will prove to be the God of true health in your life. Let us pray. God, our Father, we ask, Lord, today, we pray that we would prosper and be in health. Father, for some of us, it means decisions regarding diet. For others, it means decisions regarding exercise or work. For others, Lord, it means decisions regarding our relationships. For others, it means decisions regarding faith. But Father, today we know, we believe that it is your desire that we would be in health. We don't want to have rotten bones. We want to have a merry heart. We want to have a heart and spirit that rejoice in the blessings of God our Savior. And so, Lord, we pray today you'd not only save us from sin, but save us from the ills of poor health in our world today by enabling us to make positive choices for the glory of God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for never failing us, for never leaving us, never forsaking us. Stand by us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.